As I said, it's a very, very short reading. And I've got a short message. So we're going to get an early mark today. So let us pray. Abba Father, I just thank you that for the word that you've given me for today, for the video that we're about to see. And we just pray, Abba Father, that it will be eye-opening to those that watch it and that they will understand more completely of Yehovah's Torah. And we just thank you for these words in Yeshua's name. Amen. I think that the emphasis on the Torah portion today was Yehovah will never fail you or abandon you. And I think that's a very important message for today. Because we're living in a situation where sometimes we can feel that he is abandoning us with what is happening within the world, with what is being trying to bring in throughout the world, what they're doing to our in relation to all the agendas of the world. I'd say that we'd have to be close to end times. So the final scripture that we read from Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 13 and 5b, it said, we can have that up please. Yehovah himself said, I will never fail you or abandon you. And this is a repeat of what we read in the Torah from Devarim chapter 31 and verse 8. But Yehovah, it is he who will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you or abandon you. So don't be afraid or downhearted. That's what's important. We are not afraid or downhearted. Because when Yehovah speaks, his word is true. And this is a promise that he has made. He made it to Yehoshua here, and it was made again in Messianic Jews. That's us. We're Messianic Jews. This word is a divine promise directly from Yehovah's mouth. It is a promise that is made more than once in his scriptures, and I believe it's a promise that we have to take hold of more than ever before. So let us look at the words as a quotation. The Ruach HaKodesh led Shaul to quote from known Tanakh scriptures when he could have spoken fresh words. Shaul put honour on the Tanakh. It was the quoting of the Tanakh when he taught that it allowed the words spoken to ancient believers to belong to us today. Shaul did not quote the exact words. What he was doing, he was actually teaching the believers that it was the Ruach, or the spirit of the word, that was important. And these words can be found also in Bereshit 28 and verse 15, right back at the beginning. It says, look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into the land because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Yehovah spoke these words to Yaakov when he was leaving home. These words are very pertinent to now to everyone to take hold of, but especially young people as they begin to set out in life with the present day pressures. Young people have far more pressures than what we had, and they surpass anything that we ever had to deal with. As we read today in the Torah, I will repeat it again because I think it's very important that we take heed of what Yah says in Deuteronomy or Devarim 31:8. But Yehovah, it is he who will go ahead of you. Nobody else. You can't trust man. You have to trust Yah. It is he who will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Human beings will let you down. It doesn't matter how close you are to them. Well, matter of fact, probably the closer you are to them, the more likely they're to let you down. You see, and we have to realise we mustn't have expectations. Because if we have expectations, then we are going to get let down. Expect nothing and reap the rewards has always been my saying. You know, because you do. You reap the rewards just through so many areas in your life when you have no expectations. No expectations of anybody or anything. Yehovah will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. So don't be afraid or downhearted. It's got do there, I think, and it should be so. These words were spoken to Yehoshua when he lost Moshe as his leader. It's an important word to all of us that are about to take on leadership. The leadership may be at home, it may be in marriage, it may be in business or in the workplace, in sport. Most importantly, it might be in the service of Yehovah. But this is a word of encouragement that we can impart to others. And it is also an important today in what the world is going through. Whether it's the Great Reset, the lack of housing, where the average wage can cause people to live in cars, the lack of medical care and hospital ramping, indoctrinations in school with the multiple different multitude of current agendas, the earthquakes that are happening throughout the world, 3 in one day this week, 6.7, 6.5 earthquakes throughout the world, fires, everyday living situations are at the worst I can ever remember them that are happening, the floods that are happening throughout the world. And I've even seen wine rushing down streets, absolutely pouring down the streets, where a whole maybe 50-metre swimming pool of vats of wine were just running down streets. We need encouragement from Yah to survive the agendas of the world today. No matter what 2 or 3-letter acronym you want to give these people that have got these agendas, we have to realise that Yah is in control. He will not forsake us, he will not abandon us, and we will get through, regardless of what they've got coming at us. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, King David said to Shlomo his son, "Be strong, be bold, and do it. Just do it. Don't be afraid or become discouraged, for Yehovah Elohim, my Elohim, is with you. He will not fail you or abandon you until all the work of the service of the house of Yehovah has been finished." That was strong words in those days. These words given to Shlomo are relevant to those who have a great deal of responsibility upon their shoulders that require a lot of wisdom in everyday situations today. We need wisdom in guiding our children. We need wisdom in guiding this congregation and in everyday situations. Shlomo built the tangible tabernacle or temple for Yehovah. But we have to build a spiritual tabernacle within us. It is most important. In Yeshayahu chapter 41 and verse 10, it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be distressed, for I am your Elohim. I give you strength. I give you help." This word was for all Israel and is there for all of Yehovah's tried and afflicted believers, because we are Israel. It doesn't matter if we weren't born into the tribes of Israel, but we may be grafted in, which makes you part of the tribes of Israel. If you are a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, you are part of the tribes of Israel. Actually, it was Jeff this week who sent Malachi an email saying he'd had his DNA done and he was shown that he had 3.5% Jewish in his DNA. And it's amazing, because I say it doesn't matter who's sitting in this room, I believe if they got their DNA done, they would find some bit of Yah's character within them, within their DNA. Because that's what it means when you've got Jewish DNA. You've got Yah's character within you. So let us look at them as a household word for Yehovah. They are particularly saying of Yah, he has said. Yehovah himself has said these words. They are not merely words of inspiration. These are remarkably forceful words. I will never fail you or abandon you. It doesn't say I'll only be with you if you pray, or I'll only be with you if you obey some of my mitzvot, nor does it say I'll be with you in some of your battles, but not all of them. Yah's words are clear. I will never. The words relate to Yehovah himself and to his people. He uses the pronouns I and you. I will not abandon you. He's very clear. These words ensure his presence and his help. He would not promise to be with us and then sit back and watch us get into trouble. As our Abba, or our loving Father, it would be and is his automatic reaction to reach out to help us. These words guarantee for us the greatest of good things. For Yah to be with us is all good. To be in his presence, to me, is wonderful. We must hang on to these words, especially when we're feeling low or things in our lives are not going very well. When there are challenges that we have no control over, Yah is good and he wants nothing but the best for his children. Always. These words take us from the dreadful fear, which we most probably deserve, and should rightly fear that it is to be abandoned by Yah. And he is not there, and if he is not there, when we need him. There are times when we feel that this is true, but it is he who knows the end from the beginning. We go through things and we've got no idea how it's going to end up, but he knew thousands of years ago how it's going to end up, because he knows the end of every one of our lives before we were even born. Psalm 139 tells us that. These words are such that only we can make them true. We are human, and no matter how good our intentions might be, we could never, in all honesty, keep such promises ourselves. There is nobody else who can be with us effectively in agony, in death, and in judgment as Yehovah. These words provide for all troubles, all losses, all desertions, all weaknesses, all difficulties, all places, all seasons, all dangers, and all everything. The list could continue, but also his promises are for this time and into the future through to eternity. Yehovah's divine love, his immutability, and his faithfulness substantiate these promises. Now let us look at these words as a motivation of contentment. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, it says, "Not that I'm saying this to call attention to any need of mine, since as far as I'm concerned, I have learned to be content regardless of circumstances." Shaul is saying here that if Yah is always with us, then we must learn to be content in all things, regardless of the circumstances or what is happening around us. And I love this scripture because it wasn't until I learned to take this scripture into my everyday situation did I start to find peace in my own life. I came to the realization that I could let go and let him take control. You see, that we let go and let Yah take control, it is like freeing all the worries and the zurus, the troubles of this world. And the hardest thing to do is to let go and let Yah take control. Because as adults, we tend to hang on to things. And I have my parable of the broken toy that I had a long time ago. My children are in their 50s. So if a child has a broken toy, it will give it to the father, leave it in the father's hands until it's fixed. The father gives the toy, fixed toy back, and the child says, "Thank you, Daddy," and it's good. If an adult has something broken in its life, gives it to the father, and before the father's had it, time to do anything with it, pulled it back. It's my worry again. "Father, why haven't you fixed it?" Give it to the father, pull it back. We don't give him time. It takes time to fix things. And we have to let go and let him do it. And then we can move on. But we have to be patient. We can learn from our children. Because our children, that's our little children, not our older children. It's a little bit more difficult because they become like us, impatient. But it's important that we learn to let go. Once we get that, that is the untrue understanding of what shalom means. Shalom, to most people, means peace. It has many meanings, but it means peace. It means more than peace. It means being content in your circumstances, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what's happening in the world, no matter how many times you duck under the table to when the bombs fall, or under the bed, if you've got shalom, you've got complete peace, regardless of the circumstances. Very few of us have experienced that getting under our beds when the bombs go off. I remember all the air raid sirens and the searchlights. But my mother used to get under the bed when the bombs went off. So these words help us live above the visible things. These words help us to have satisfaction, however low we are feeling. These words help us see the provision of Yah and for all these things, especially in emergencies. These words lead us into a security that is more satisfactory, sure and divine than all the wealth in the world can bring. Since Yah is always with us, and since Yah is always with us, then we can never want for anything, because when he is with us, he's always beside us. We can guarantee it. He mightn't be there personally, but his angels of protection are. I've lived alone for many years, and I've seen his angels outside on my balcony, dressed in warrior outfits, protecting me. I have personally seen them. I've seen them marching down in huge battalions down the Gavin Way, which is now the Gold Coast Highway, but it was Gavin Way then, which was the back road leading into the Gold Coast. Yehovah is with us. He will always be with us, and we can have him beside us. So look at these words as a reason for courage. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, the next verse. "Therefore we say with confidence, Yehovah is my helper. Don't be afraid. What can a human being do to me?" Our helper is greater than any enemy we could ever have. Yehovah Elohim is our helper. Our enemies are entirely in his hands. I will not be afraid what a human being can do to me. I believe this applies to our spiritual enemies as well. The spiritual enemy will attack the mind. The spiritual enemy can cause the body to become weak. Some in this room can identify with that, but we have to remember, Yah does not allow us to suffer more than we can bear. Sometimes it can be very excruciating and we think we cannot take another minute or of the pain or the circumstances that we are in. But he does promise that he will sustain us. He will give us the strength to cope, and his healing is perfect. His healing comes and will change our circumstances, and we will never, ever be in that position again. Purely and simply because our faith is strong enough to realize that he will never forsake us or abandon us. He will always be with us. I'm sure that there are many of us here today that can already testify of what Yah has done in our lives and how he carried us through circumstances. I know that I've lived through circumstances and look back now and wonder, how did I ever survive? And I do that. I could never have done it without Yah. He's been in my life for 72 years. And for 72 years, I have read his word every day unless I've been unconscious. I know that there are times in life that people cannot cope. This is why I believe we have so many suicides today, because they don't have Yah. Or if they do, they don't trust him enough. It is such a blessing and a deliverance from fear, knowing that Yehovah Elohim is with us, will never fail us, abandon or forsake us. Let us not be slow to follow the road the Ruach HaKodesh points out to us. It is his voice that we must listen to, so that we can live in all circumstances without fear. 3:30, I'm finished. We got a video yet. It's okay. We've got a video yet. But are there any questions on what I've just spoken on? Is there anyone who would like to give a testimony on what Yah has done for them? Pardon? That's okay. What Yah's done for you is all important. Can you lift that up? Malachi, how do we lift this? Oh. Gosh, hi, Janine.
Hi, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. I just wanted to say, I'll make it quick, but...
You don't have to. We've got plenty of time.
Okay, so during the pandemic, when Australia closed its borders... My industry was utterly destroyed. I teach international students English and I taught for one of the biggest schools on the Gold Coast. I loved it. It was like a family. I was there for nearly 15 years and we closed down. So that meant, you know, our industry was in trouble and everyone said to me, Rachel, you need to do something else. You've been a manager, you know, you've trained teachers so you can transfer your skills to another area. And I was thinking, but I love what I do. And I, you know, I think I really believe it was Yah. He gave me the idea to start my own business. And so I started to get some private students. And then that just grew and grew and grew. I've never actually marketed myself. It's just students telling their friends about me and putting me on Facebook groups. And Yah just keeps providing. The school has come back. I went back and helped and I just changed. I wasn't really happy there and so I'm just totally on my own now. And, you know, student finishes, I get a new one. A student finishes, I get a new one. It's just Yah, 100%. And he's made it so easy for me and I absolutely love it. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Bless you. It's amazing what Yah does and what direction he puts us in when we think that all things are collapsing around us. As you know, tomorrow is Yom Teruah, and the Jewish community think that it is Rosh Hashanah. So I'm putting a video on now that is for a YouTube, which is from Messianic Rabbi Zev Perot. Rabbi Zev is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi who was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family of rabbis. So his family and his fathers and grandfather and all his relatives were raised as very Orthodox Jews. They were all rabbis, and they were all rabbi judges as well, not just rabbis, but judges of rabbis as well, and members of the Sanhedrin. But this man, this Rabbi Zev, made a commitment to Yeshua. And he openly testifies at the Kotel in Yerushalayim to other Orthodox Jewish rabbis. He has been stoned. He has been threatened with death. He's been suffered a lot because of he's a Jewish man who's given his life to Yeshua. And we know that he could be jailed for what he does. He's well credentialed. And this video is him speaking to, he comes up to a rabbi with his Talmudim at the Kotel in Yerushalayim and speaks to them about the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Teruah. So if we could play that video, thank you. I'll do a Sean and sit down.
Shalom, I'm Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, and welcome to a special outreach update from Jerusalem, Israel. We're living in exciting and prophetic times. There's never been a generation closer to the second coming of Jesus Yeshua than this generation. We're not setting any dates, but we know that the time is near. We know that the veil is being lifted. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and Jews in Israel and around the world are being saved like never before. There is a revival in Israel. There is a hunger in Israel. We are just before the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. A time of blessings. A time for the gospel to go forth like never before. We're preaching the gospel south to north of Israel with many follow-ups. Praise Yeshua. We give him all the glory. We're small people with a big God. The enemy doesn't want people to know that Yeshua is the Messiah. Yeshua is God, who died on the tree on the cross for our sins. He rose on the third day, and by his blood, all who repent and believe have full redemption of sins and eternal life. And in the Feast of the Lord, it's all about Yeshua. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Who is the author of confusion? It's Satan. It's the devil. It's the demons. It's the demonic realm. And he will do everything to confuse the people that they won't see Messiah Yeshua, and they won't understand the feasts. And one of the ways he does it in the Feast of Trumpets is by confusing the biblical calendar, by telling the people that it's the new year, that you celebrate the Feast of Trumpets by having a new year. But that has nothing to do with the Bible. That has to do with the Babylonian calendar. That has to do with the Chaldean spirit. When God says something, it stays forever. You are not to add or to subtract from my word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I give you. So it's clear, God says do not add to his word, and do not subtract it. And if the Bible says that the Feast of Trumpets is in the seventh month, then it's in the seventh month, and no man can change it to the beginning of the year. And this is a biblical pattern, Hidgalut, Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. If anyone takes words away from this scroll or prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life in the holy city which are described in this scroll. And we know that that holy city is Yerushalayim HaKadosha, the New Jerusalem. And only those under the blood of Yeshua will enter in. Only those who are born again. The new year, according to the biblical calendar, starts in the season of Pesach, the season of Passover, because it was in the Passover season that our salvation came. Let's see when the Word of God says is the first day of the year. Exodus chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. This month is to be for you the first month of the year. Verse 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man shall take a lamb for his family, one for each household. So we can see over here that this is the Pesach, the Passover season, and this is the first month of the year. It is not the seventh month. So the question is, why do most Jewish people around the world, and unfortunately some believers that have been fooled, celebrate the seventh month as the new year? The answer is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell on them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Because the enemy knows that his time is short, he's tampering with the biblical calendar. He's tampering with the Word of God. But as believers in Yeshua and Jesus, we understand when it says the seventh month of the year, it's the seventh month of the year. When it says the first month of the year, it says the first month of the year. It doesn't matter what man says. It matters what the Word of God says in context. The Feast of Trumpets points to the second coming of Jesus Yeshua. With the sound of the trump, we meet the Lord in the air and go home. And for this reason, the enemy doesn't want people to celebrate the true Feast of Trumpets, and he sidetracks them and takes them to a new year that has nothing to do with the Word of God. Only those who know, who hear the joyful sound, will enter into the kingdom. Tehillim, Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Only those who hear the sound of the Lord, only those who follow him are blessed. It has nothing to do with the new year. It has everything to do with the joyful sound. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound. As Jerusalem is blasted with people before the feast, we began to share the gospel, to share the love of Yeshua in the Kotel area. As the Messiah of Israel Ministries team were praying, I began to preach. I noticed a very known rabbi walking with his students in the Kotel area, Harav Yonatan Belgel, Rabbi Jonathan Berger. I approached the rabbi and asked him, "Haim ata Harav Yonatan Belgel? Are you Rabbi Jonathan Berger?" He said, "Yes." I introduced myself and asked him if I can ask him some questions. He was very happy and said, "Of course." I asked him, "We are now getting close to the Feast of the Lord, to the Feast of Trumpets." He said, "Yes." In Hebrew, it's called Yom HaTuah. Yom means day, Tuah means blowing. The Feast of the Blowing of Trumpets in Hebrew. Known to most Jews as Rosh Hashanah, the New Year. I asked the rabbi, "Is number 1-1? He said, "Of course." "Is number 7-7? He said, "Of course." I said, "Can 7 be 1? He said, "No." I said, "Can 1 be 7? He said, "No." His students were all listening as they were getting closer. I said, "So why are you calling Yom HaTuah, the day of blowing, the Feast of Trumpets, the New Year?" He said, "What do you mean? That's when the Jews celebrate the New Year." I asked him, "Is it the Feast of the Jews or the Feast of the Lord?" He said, "It's the Feast of the Lord, but it's the same thing." I said, "Is that what the Bible says?" He didn't answer. I then asked him a question again. I said, "Before I open the Bible, I want to make sure that we understand each other. Is number 1-1? He said, "Yes." "Is number 7-7? He said, "Yes." "Is there any place in the Bible where 7 became 1 or 1 became 7? He said, "Impossible." I turned the Bible to Leviticus 23, verse 24, and read together with the rabbi. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing the trumpets, a holy convocation." I then looked at the rabbi. He didn't answer, and I read it again. "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month." So it's clear here that the Feast of Yom HaTuah, the day of blowing the trumpets, is on the seventh month. It is not on the first month of the year. It has nothing to do with a new year. In fact, the Bible tells us exactly when the new year begins. Exodus 12, verse 2. This month is to be for you the first month of the year. So it's clear that the first month of the year is not the seventh month. It's in the month of the feast. It's in the season of Passover. Nothing to do with the Feast of Trumpets. I then asked the rabbi, why are you celebrating the new year on the seventh month of the year and not on the first month? The rabbi answered, that's what we learn in the Talmud. I asked the rabbi, which is the word of God, the Talmud or the word of God, the Bible, the Tanakh? He said the Tanakh, but he started to stutter and he said, yeah, but the Talmud interprets the Tanakh. I said, who wrote the Talmud? He said, man. Who wrote the Tanakh, the Bible? He said, God. I said, who has more authority, man or God? He said, God. I said, then you've answered yourself. Rosh Hashanah, the new year, has nothing to do with the seventh month. And in fact, we're not to study the Talmud at all. In fact, it's clear we're not supposed to study the Talmud, but study only the Word of God. I then asked the rabbi, who is the wisest of all men? He said, Melech Shlomo, King Solomon. I said, is Melech Shlomo smarter than the rabbis who wrote the Talmud? He said, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, absolutely. With this understanding, let's read what the wisest of all men wrote. You know, we all agree that Qehelet Shlomo, Ecclesiastics, King Solomon wrote under the inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He said, yes. With this understanding, let's read Ecclesiastics 12, verses 12 and 13. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. So King Solomon, Melech Shlomo, is actually telling you not to read those books. Let's read the conclusion, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. So we can see right here that because the Jewish people have been fooled by reading the Talmud, they now celebrate the new year on the seventh month, when King Solomon clearly said not to do that. And we both agree that according to the Bible, he was the wisest of all men. The rabbi now was in trouble. His students were there. He didn't know what to say. It was time for the full gospel. In order not to continue to embarrass the rabbi, I moved on to the next subject and asked him, why do you come here before the feasts almost every day? He said, I want to hear the shofar. I then told him, the real shofar is the voice of God. He said, amen. But we don't need 100 blasts, 100 shofars. That's also invented by man. We need one shofar. And only those who know that shofar know the joyful sound. At that time, one of the rabbi's students asked, what is the joyful sound? I turned the Bible to Psalms 89, verse 15, and read together. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. As you can see, according to the Bible, there's one joyful sound. And the fact that we met here today in the Kotel area before the feast is not a coincidence. It's a divine appointment. God is calling you to that joyful sound. He's calling you to hear his voice forever, not just in the feasts, because he is the feast. At that moment, something supernatural happened. The prayers of the believers were working. The rabbi then asked, how do I hear this joyful sound? This was amazing. One of the main rabbis in Jerusalem is now asking, how do I hear this joyful sound? That is something almost impossible. It's supernatural. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I turn the Bible to Jeremiah 23. Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53. These Bible verses are speaking about the true joyful sound, the Messiah, Yeshua, who died on the tree on the cross for your sins. He rose on the third day, and by his blood, if you repent and believe, you have full redemption of sins and eternal life. And you not only hear the shofar in the feast, you hear his voice all the time. Hallelujah. The rabbi wanted to leave. Some of his students wanted to leave. He was scared to give me his phone number or to take my phone number. I just gave him my name and I said, you can find me on the internet. Send me an email. But one thing is certain. I pray that this time of the feast, God will talk to you, that you will ask him for the truth, because the truth can only do one thing, and that is set you free. Don't celebrate the new year at the wrong time, but celebrate the new birth through Messiah Yeshua. He turned to me and said, I could have you thrown out of here. I said, you could, but you won't, because you know the truth. He left the Kotel area with his students, and we continue to share the gospel. Let's pray for Rabbi Yonatan Belyo, that he'll come to know, that he'll have dreams, that he'll have visitations, that he'll search the scriptures, and he and his students, his family, and his whole synagogue will come to know that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, Yeshua is God, and they'll hear the sound of the shofar, which is Jesus Yeshua. One thing is certain, Rabbi Belgiev and all those that heard the gospel will never be the same again. And for this we give all the glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Yeshua. And for Zion's sake, we will not keep silent. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. And we know that the word for salvation in Hebrew is the word Yeshua, Jesus, her Yeshua, like a blazing torch. And he's coming back with fire in his eyes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to take back everything that the enemy has stolen. And until that time, we will continue to preach the gospel no matter what. Until next time, I'm Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, sending you blessings from Israel in the mighty name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Aliyeh Yehuda, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the great I Am, Jesus Yeshua, Amen. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Yeshua, Jesus, is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound.
I couldn't do that like he did, nor would I go up to a rabbi in the Kotel. But, of course, he's a man and he can do it. Did you notice how long the zitzit were on some of those people walking around? They nearly reached the ground. And yet the scripture tells us not to wear our zitzit long. So, yep, we're not to wear them long.